Hello and welcome to Rancor's Brothel, issue number 33. I'm your co-host Matt.
I'm your co-host Dustin.
Why are you trying not to laugh?
And I'm a
quack.
I'm your co-host Dustin.
Hello and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel number. You're an asshole. You're a fucking asshole. I'm just gonna cut out the one word in that whole thing.
Okay.
People know that you said something horrible, but they don't know what.
Can we put a quack sound in front of it? I've always.
I don't know how to do that.
Quack sound.
Anybody out there in listener land that knows where I can get a good quack MP3 sound effect? No.
You've heard my quack.
Oh, just you're quacking.
Yeah. Go ahead
and give me a quack.
Quack.
All right, I'll put that right over it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
And with us today, if you just heard a little voice in the background, it is...
I'm Ben. Hi.
Hi, Ben. Good to see you. Ben is a friend of Dustin's. Apparently, I knew him at some point in college, but...
Yeah.
Which happens when you smoke that much weed and drink that much, so...
Guess that'll happen.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Also sorry to the School of Graduate Studies at Indiana State, because I never finished. Which is funny, because I'm in grad school now, and I don't suck, but whatever.
You live and learn.
Yeah. Yeah, it just took me
15
years to fix that problem.
Right.
Gentlemen, let's talk about the brothel, huh?
Yeah.
I like brothels.
Guest questions to Ben Tiridowski.
Doing it.
Hey, Ben.
Yo.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Oh. That's rough. Iron Man.
Why?
Wait. I just want to point out the fallacy here. That was really funny because you're like, that's rough. Iron Man.
Yeah.
Right. Really well.
It was either Batman or Iron Man.
That's, okay.
I love Tony Stark. He's rich and he's not afraid to be a dick.
Whereas Bruce Wayne's kind of polite.
Yeah, he's kind of like a, yeah. I mean, I love Batman, but Iron Man's just a giant dick. He's not afraid to show it and he beats a lot of ass. So.
Yeah, Tony Stark is that lovable asshole.
Batman. Yeah, exactly. Asshole.
Yeah, I don't think that Iron Man's not afraid to kill.
Mm.
That's always been kind of weird to me that Batman doesn't kill.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that someone that dark and that, like, secluded and shit.
Right. You figure if he could kill or if he did kill, he could hide it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the world's greatest detective. He knows how to get fingerprints and DNA evidence.
Exactly.
I'm picturing Paul Smecker from Boondock Saints, like, when they find the blood. He's like... They used ammonia! This is... freaking out about it. It's Jim Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Ammonia!
That's perfect.
Paul Smecker, who, if you flip the letters around, is Small Pecker.
Mm.
Fun fact. Check it out.
Mm.
I'm going to look into that.
I'm sorry.
That man, probably.
Fair enough. Second guest question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, man.
You're like, oh, man, that's such a hard question. Flight!
Yeah. I was going to say that.
I love it. You're like, what animal would you have sex with? He's like, oh, I don't know, ostrich! Something to say.
Super speeds, for sure.
Right.
I have a pancake-shaped penis.
No.
Not the circumference.
It's just flight.
It's just flight.
It's got chocolate chips in it.
I got a fucking it's got chocolate chips in it.
Might want to get that checked out. The chocolate chips, not the fact that it's completely flat.
Specialist.
It's the tastiest blowjob ever.
What do you call a penisologist? I mean, what is that a name? Is there a thing? A dickologist?
Dickologist? That's what they call them.
Actually. So, okay, if pussy doctor's a gynecologist, do I got to go to a lady gynecologist?
You got to go to a gynecologist.
Girl gynecologist? I'll check that out. I'm sure there's got to be some kind of medical science fact in there. This is like, they have menopause, right? So if my shit stops working, I call it, what, bitchopause?
Metapause.
That's some true facts right there.
Yeah, we're dropping science on your ass, bitches!
Science, bitch.
Okay, so you said flight?
No, super speed.
Super speed, okay.
Yes. I don't know, it's always cool. And you could do so much more than just running really fast with super speed.
Well, yeah, like Flash could phase through objects.
Yeah, I mean, you figure you throw a punch at the speed of, you know, greater than sound, it's going to be powerful.
Mm-hmm. It's also going to shatter your hand like a bitch.
Whatever. Batman, make me something.
Fair enough. Dustin, you were going to say something again.
Oh, I was going to say, what non-superhero thing would you use your power for?
I would pick whirlwinds that blew skirts up.
Nice. What about you, Ben?
That's not a bad idea. But I think I'd have to go with just traveling. No, I'm going to go have coffee in France, and then I'm going to come back and do something. Then I'll be like, "Man, I'm hungry. I'm going to go to Mexico. Grab some Mexican cuisine and come back."
Texas to shit yourself.
I feel like you would travel, but strictly for the purpose of food.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I would find all the girls that turned me down in junior high, run in and just jack off their face as fast as I could, and then leave. So it was like they're just sitting there watching Breaking Bad or whatever, and then all of a sudden Spunk hits them in the eye. And then there's nobody there. Like, what the fuck was that? Oh, my God!
Now, you have to be careful for that, because you'd burn yourself, then you'd have to go see a dickologist.
A dickologist, you're right. I have to go to my girl-nologist, as Dustin put it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. That's a good point. Wait.
Caveats, huh?
Friction dick's a big problem.
Friction dick.
Maybe that's why they call him the Flash, because the only sexual gratification he can get is from literally showing it and then disappearing. And everything else hurts him.
He moves so quick that no one even sees it.
He'd have to use so viscous to jack off. He'd have to use, like, motor oil. There's this big brown dick on this white person's body. Oh, that's so gross.
There's a national pandemic of ghost jizz been going around. Turns out it was the Flash.
The ghost facial.
That's what that whole game, Ghost Protocol, is.
Guys, ghost hunters on sci-fi. And I'm talking with them while they're exploring my house.
The only...
just running up and jizzing on the camera lenses and stuff. Wait, I thought I heard somebody say a name. Did you say Julian? Splort. I love everything about this conversation, Ben.
This is the laughingest episode.
Hey, I love it.
Oh. Boy, I hope the recording does not fuck up. This is great.
Yeah, it's good.
So what else you got
next time?
Yeah. Third guest question.
Ben.
Yeah.
This is usually an off-topic one, so.
It's been pretty off-topic so far, but go right ahead.
Touche, Ben. Touche.
Most preferred type of chair.
Oh, like Queen Anne,
you all know that you have one.
I wouldn't say no to a good wicker rocker. Or I call them rockers.
Hey, don't be putting words in my mouth. Shit, dude, I don't know. I did have a wonderful computer chair in my office, so that computer chair.
You guys ever used a gaming chair?
And it rocks backward and stuff?
No, like a gaming chair where they actually have... In the armrest, they have the buttons for a console, like, say, you're playing Xbox. Never. So on the right, you would have the, whatever those buttons correlate to, their letters.
Right? I've seen the one that, like, it comes over your head, and there's a monitor in front. Okay. Like, so where you just sit in the chair, and it's just a full entertainment system.
I'm thinking of the one that you see in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I have not sat in that one, no. I've sat in the rocker one.
Those rocker ones are pretty comfortable.
Hurt my ass after a while. What's new?
Well, stop buying the self-fucking version, Ben. You're just silly.
Stop being so silly.
What do we do next, Dustin? Is it Discount X-Men?
Yeah.
X-Men!
Yay.
Today's Discount X-Men, brought to you by Valvoline. Because when the Flash jacks off...
He needs it.
Yeah. Over 50% recycled oil. We don't have a sponsorship with them. They're just a fine American product. Sorry.
Good times.
fuck?
Okay, first one is brought to you by Mike Cooksey. This one is Emo Man. I haven't thought of a good name for him yet, but Emo Man. He just like...
We call him the Cutter.
The Cutter? Oh, the Cutter. There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
He has lots of sharp objects, but he only uses them on himself. And he like sucks the happiness, like the joy out of people when he's around them.
So like, he's like what are those things in Harry Potter?
A joy sucker?
No.
Joy sucker?
What are those fucking things called?
A joyous sucker.
You gotta use the Patronus.
I'm glad I named my penis Joy.
Fuck. I don't remember.
Okay.
Going.
I don't know.
No, I have no idea. I don't.
Do they suck really the?
Well. Yeah, they literally suck joy out of you.
Okay.
And I can't. And they're used as prison guards. Okay. So, because when you're in prison, they make you suffer even more, which is awesome.
Okay.
So one cool thing about the Harry Potter universe is that when you go to prison, it's not like, oh, everybody's got basic cable in their cells and shit and 3 square meals.
Yeah.
It's like, you go there to suffer. Like yeah. a bitch.
As prison should be.
Yeah, it's how it should be, right? Did something.
Okay. Yeah, I can't
remember. We think of a modern-day Captain America? Or like corporate
oh, yeah.
Captain America?
Captain Modern America.
Can we call him Corporate America?
Corporal no. America.
Corporal America.
Corporal America.
Kinda. There we go. Yeah.
Sure. It's, Corporal it's... America.
He's obviously corporate. He's all about big money, big greed.
So instead of his regular blue suit, he's wearing a nice Armani silk one in stripes. It's very tasty.
Captain Capitalist.
It's like it should be green.
Why?
For the money.
For the money, money, money.
For the money.
Yeah.
Money.
And instead of the star on his shield, he's got the dollar sign. Nice.
And he's he represents all of the big companies, so he's always got a big stogie for big tobacco. he always carries a med kit because you know the FDA has so many patents on things that they only approve.
Right.
Instead of other alternate treatments that work.
I feel like he carries around a lot of cease and desist letters.
He just has a blank pad that at the top says cease and desist. And the bottom says signed Corporal America. Like it, love it. oh, that's beautiful. And then he wears his no Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
No Obamacare.
I feel like he's got a really, really expensive like pair of Oakleys. Just
like that's his facial disguise to cover him up for a secret identity. Oakleys. He has like the Oakley, like the goggles, the ski goggles by Oakley.
And they're expendable. He has like 200 pairs in his jacket.
Nice. So, what is his alter ego then? It's got to be something very different, like. His alter ego is like a tree hugging hippie.
Yeah.
Yeah, a huge liberal. barista.
Yeah. He's gay. His alter ego's gay. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but then all the time he's like, queers can't get married! He's pumping on his bitch.
And then after he says that, he like hopes that no one's looking when he goes,
That's good, Dustin.
That was good.
Beautiful.
Nicely done.
Wonderful.
Okay. Ben, any discount X-Men from you, sir? Anything?
Discount X-Men? God, I honestly have no idea after those. I don't think I can think of something.
Yeah, you just think of a really, really stupid power. You know, mutants were created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby as a means to create many superpowered beings without having to have an origin story. Nice. Made it easier for them as writers. Well, Jack Kirby wasn't a writer, but made it easier for Stan Lee. So he could just, you know... But the point is that all X-Men always have a useful power. So what happens to the people that don't have useful powers? What happens to Long Harrow, who can grow their hair to 3 feet in under 10 seconds?
But it stops at 3 feet.
It stops at 3 feet.
What about a guy... For hands, he's got knives, but the knives are only sharp enough to barely cut a tomato.
Like it squishes the tomato?
Yeah.
We'll call
Edward Cutco hands or something.
He's Dullshanks.
Dullshanks? Ah, I like that. That's a good one.
Man, you're clever as hell.
Okay. Each hand is one knife. That's what you're getting at?
No, I think it's five.
No, yeah, like five knives on.
Okay.
You know, but like they're just really dull. Like, they can't even stab.
But before his powers manifested, he worked at a balloon factory. Or he was the guy at the zoo that sold balloons, like the old man in Up.
Yeah, that held him out to children.
And it was his passion. That's what he loved to do, was sell balloons.
So he became all jaded and dark, and it's like him and Wolverine hang out together a lot.
Yeah. Was... No, this is discount Wolverine, so he's just Hugh Jackman's... He looks like Hugh Jackman, yeah. Has his personality, but he's got the Wolverine.
He's slightly overweight.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. See how fast you can come up with a discount X-Man when you really...
Not bad.
Ben, now you're going to be thinking about it all day.
I guarantee you I will.
Send them in. Let us know. Text them to me, because we premiere at least two or three of them every episode.
Nice. All right.
I'm sure your buddies will come up with something.
So what's now? The Star Wars Minute?
Yeah, Star Wars Minute.
I have nothing.
Ben, do you know anything about Star Wars?
That hasn't been said already.
Do you have a question about Star Wars?
I love Star Wars, so...
It's not a question. It's silly.
Why? I can't think of a question.
Fair enough.
I love it. I know.
Well, then let's talk about let's talk about the deleted scene that was released this week. There's a deleted scene from Episode 1 of Star Wars where... So Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, and Jar Jar... after talking to Boss Nass in the Gungan city, take off in what Boss Nass refers to as Unabanko, which is a transport through the water heart of the world that takes them up to Naboo City.
Great.
And it shows them like come up in the bay right next to the city, and the next thing you see them on land like hiding from troopers and shit or battle droids. What they don't show is the deleted scene is how they get to land from that vehicle, which Qui-Gon uses a standard issue grappling hook, ties it to the vehicle, shoots the grappling hook to the wall, and they are like walking their way across it, you know, over hand over hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because right behind them is a gigantic ass waterfall, which you kind of see in the panorama shots of Naboo City.
Right.
Jar Jar is a little iffy about putting his weight on the rope and pulling himself across. So there's a point when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are on land telling him to get on the rope. And you see the rope, like, loosening, like the grappling hook's not holding on, and it starts to shake free. So somebody went in and, using their computer prowess and animation skills, left Jar Jar on the ship as the rope broke and it went over the falls. And they were just like, sound bits like "No, Misa, no, wanna die" and like real funny shit. So that was fake. That was released as like the alternate Jar Jar death scene.
Oh, okay.
But no, it was fake. It's from the deleted scenes on the Blu-ray.
Damn, I wish I could have.
Very funny. Very funny.
Wish that would actually happen. Probably would have helped a lot of that movie.
I want to talk about the. I'm going to say this wrong. The animal is called the. A salamander. It starts with a Y, but it looks like salamander at the end.
Right.
So it's like E salamander. And this is in the expanded universe of Star Wars.
Mm.
And it is a creature that has evolved. All the animals on its planet, all the predators, are force sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So they can sense life forces.
Mm-hmm.
Makes cool. It's just like, I don't know, in Tremors, they can like sense heat and shit.
Sure.
It's just an evolutionary thing. To find prey animals, so the Isaminder, or whatever it's called, is completely force neutral. So that even a Jedi, if they are within 3 feet of one of these animals, you can't sense them in the force.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a really interesting thing that I wanted to tell everybody about.
That is cool.
So it's like a black hole, a void in the force.
So are they force sensitive enough to like to move things around, or
no? They're just lizards. They're just animals.
Right on.
That just happened to have this extra effect. So,
can you imagine a very primitive mind being able to do something like that?
I mean, think of like bees. Bees see in ultraviolet. And how small is their fucking brain?
Right.
They can see ultraviolet light as well as the visible spectrum.
What I'm saying is the ability to move the things around you, but without like being able to control where it goes. Like as one of these more mammals is running through the plains, like trees are ripping out of the ground and stuff along with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. So
that would be cool.
They have telekinesis.
Nice.
They can't control it. So everything around them is just kind of chaos.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh.
That is an interesting thought. I haven't come across anything like that in the EU.
Right. I kind of wonder how that how they got that too. Evolution. Obviously, it's evolution, but like how? What was there to make them they having to sense the Force? You know.
Well, I mean, if the predators are Force sensitive and use the Force to find prey animals, then clearly a genetic mutation that comes up that immediately interacts with its own midichlorians,
yeah,
and makes it a void in the Force would survive and pass its genes on.
It's like a moth with camouflage, right?
That's the weirdest point for evolution, but yes, it would be a moth. Anything like Galapagos Island animals and all the variations of finches on those tiny islands and shit like that. Yeah, perfect example.
Nice.
So, evolution in the Star Wars universe. There you go.
I like it.
That's some true fact.
True fact, yo. I like to think that evolution has actually been stymied in the Star Wars universe because, like, there's so many species and invasive species on every planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, four systems that have rancors on them.
What are, like, those?
What's a rancor?
You should see Thor. There's a monster in Thor. I looked over at Brett and I was like, that's a rancor.
Is it the guy made out of rocks?
No, it's not.
It's not a core.
No, it's a four-legged beast.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I haven't seen it yet, so shut up.
Not saying nothing.
Hey, Ben, what'd you think of Thor?
It was good.
I thought so, too. Natalie Portman.
I love Natalie Portman so much. You know, she is, like, she has the distinct honor of being, she's, like, an Oscar-winning actress, but she also has been published in several scientific journals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
That's why, so nerdy.
That's why she was believable when
and
she
you know
was,
what?
Like,
she's a hot Jew. Hot, sexy Jew.
Jews are good people.
They are.
Portman, is that a Jew name?
Well, she's born in Israel, so yeah. Portman? A lot of names that end in man.
I could see that.
In,
wait, was she really born?
Yeah.
No way, I did not know that. That's crazy.
In Israel, yeah. Well, clearly you're not in the Natalie Portman fan club like me.
I tried. They turned me down.
Aw. We'll try to get you in.
we'll write a letter.
Yeah, I'll ask the president and vice president. Hey, Dustin. Can Ben join the Natalie Portman fan club?
Let's bring it to a vote.
Yeah. Okay. Aye.
Aye.
Hey, Ben, we heard back. You're in.
What? I'm in? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
My God.
The treasurer has to give us money, right?
Yeah, well... Wait, what?
That's, is that how Tristan
works? Yeah, they give us money.
All right, give us money, Ben. You're in.
Let me ask the treasurer of it. Dustin.
Thank you for that. Versus.
Versus. Today's Versus is brought up by you for me.
Yes, this is my gift to you.
It's a gift to me.
Normally we go supernatural or something crazy, something with powers, but we're not doing that today.
We have Mr. Agent Coulson from the Marvel Universe.
Phil Coulson.
And we have a fella played by the great Liev Schreiber. What's his name?
Ray Donovan?
Ray Donovan.
That's like your favorite fucking show.
Well, when I watch the show, I think Liev Schreiber is awesome.
I do that too in movies. Like, when I was watching Moulin Rouge when that first came out, it was in theaters, I went with a girl, and I was like, Obi-Wan Kenobi can sing so pretty. I do the same fucking thing, dude.
Yeah, and like, what's the one that Hugh Jackman was in?
Oh, Australia?
Oh! No, not, that's not the one.
That was an awful
fucking
musical.
What's the opera... The other musical he was in.
Les Mis,
yeah.
Yeah, Les Mis, yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about how Wolverine did a really good job in that movie.
Yeah, Jor-El and Wolverine are singing.
Yeah.
I saw a review of it. It actually gave it only one star.
Oh, boy.
Because Wolverine didn't use his claws once.
Yeah, right? I feel the same way. Okay, so we have Ray Donovan versus Agent Coulson.
That's fine, kind of sure. Make a mystery. Ben, do you watch either of these shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or Ray Donovan?
I know of them.
Good start.
I honestly don't watch a lot of TV. I'll be just straight up with you.
That's unfortunate.
We'll teach you.
But Can I go ahead and just throw my chip in?
Yeah.
Well, first, before the fight starts, we always have to have a location here at the Rancor's Brothel. Ben, do you have a dice near you, a 20-sider or anything? No?
Oh, no, I don't.
Pick a number. Actually,
those are at my friend's house.
Pick a number between 1 and 20, friend.
16.
16? We just talked about this one.
We did.
All right, according to the list, Dustin, what's number 16?
Okay, let me preface this by saying we tried to think of a Boy Scout, like, upstanding character.
The most wholesome character in comics.
Yeah, and we picked Bucky Barnes. And we wanted them to have some dirty, dirty secret. And we turned it into a place. And so we have Bucky Barnes's sex slave dungeon.
Nice.
So that's where this fight is going to take place.
And so since Agent Phil Coulson is already so enamored with Captain America, as we learned from the Avengers...
Right.
He has clearly purchased the property of the late Bucky Barnes, who passed away in Captain America, and discovered in his sub-basement this sex dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh my God, what am I going to do? He calls up Nick Fury, hey, I bought this house, it has this crazy sex dungeon in it, I've got to get rid of this, it's going to sully the memory of Captain America, what can I do? And Nick Fury says... Well, I know a guy, and he fixes problems. Let me give him a call. I'll send him over right away.
Nice. Nice segue.
That's good.
That was beautiful. Oh,
the brothel. We're fast thinking.
Ray rolls out of bed, shirtless.
His wife says, Ray, starts going into
detail. Yeah, you're sick, Ray. You got a hole in your heart. But he rolls out of bed, answers the phone. He's like, I'll be right there. And then...
Why does he sound like Batman?
Because he should be fucking Batman. He shouldn't be fucking Batman. He should be Batman.
Fucking he should be Batman. Beautiful.
Okay, but anyway, he pulls up in his nice BMW, and where are we going from there?
Well, I mean, he knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Coulson's down in the sub-basement, doesn't hear the knock, so Ray lets himself in, because as we know, he's a little loose with the B&E laws, right?
I think, yeah, right. He lets himself in. And he makes his way down into the dungeon.
Before he can identify himself and say, like, hey, Nick sent me?
Yeah.
Coulson's immediately on the defensive, because now Coulson is in this historic landmark of a building, and he's in a sex slave dungeon. It's like, I must protect the memory of Cap!
I think a switch flips in Ray's head, and it takes him back to his Catholic undertaking. Where, you know,
Are you going to say that his priest had a sex slave dungeon?
Well,
he shook her.
That's what I was.
God damn it.
I think his priest was Bucky Barnes.
Bucky Barnes was a kid.
He's getting terrible flashbacks.
Well, Bucky Barnes obviously grew up Winter Soldier and all.
Right? Okay.
Okay, we can scratch that.
No, keep going with it. It's pretty funny. My head Barnes is working out really
retcon it.
Bucky Barnes obviously, or let's say Winter Soldier obviously molested Ray Donovan as a kid. That's in every historical document. We all know that's what happened. And so...
Forget the fact that Bucky Barnes, like, disappeared in the 50s before Ray Donovan was born.
He disappeared so he could have his sex slave dungeon and nobody would bother him.
So, okay, before the Russians picked him up and made him into the Winter Soldier, he went into the clergy to fuck children.
Right.
Okay.
And so... Okay, Ray has pushed...
But somehow he kept his old house.
Yeah, right. Ray has pushed this out of his mind, right? Like, he's completely forgotten about it, but when he walks down those stairs, he remembers everything. A flood of memories of sadness and pain and torture.
Oh my God, that's great.
And so he just goes after the first person he sees. And of course, Coulson's already on the defensive.
Because Coulson's all like, yeah, yeah. Oh, I love it. So... Let's list the stats on these two gentlemen, guys.
Okay.
Agent Coulson, a regular Joe. He is a highly trained S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. He is level 7.
8.
No, he's not.
Oh, shit.
7. No, he's level 8, isn't he? After the hub. Yeah, I'm talking about the hub. Okay, 0.1 for Dustin.
Thanks.
Okay.
That's rare on this show, by the way.
Yeah, he's level 8, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. If we watch the shorts in the Thor Blu-ray, he is clearly some kind of ninja because he beats the shit out of some people that were robbing a gas station. And he does it amazingly. Pretty cool scene. So he's got good fighting skills, not just regular American boxing, But he's definitely got some kind of a martial arts going on.
Was that a hit at Ray Donovan? Because that's pretty much all he has is regular
American
boxing.
I've never seen Ray Donovan. I don't know anything about Ray Donovan. No, I really don't.
Like his whole family boxes.
Wow. I did not know that. That was good. Everything I know about Ray Donovan is from Jonah Ray on The Nerdist saying that Ray Donovan's amazing.
Yep.
So, and you.
And me and Britton saying that he should be Batman. Ray Donovan's
amazing. What else? And Coulson also has a lot of tech, a lot of standard, a higher agent in S.H.I.E.L.D. has a lot of amazing standard issue tech.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm bringing to the table. What's your guy got?
Okay, Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan drinks too much.
He has a drinking problem.
That's good, because in a fight, you're not going to feel any pain.
Yeah, right. So I'm
like
sure
bad Santa.
He's probably got a hangover at this point, so it's kind of set him back in the fight.
But he's actually, that makes him mean.
Right.
As long as his blood sugar is regulated from the hangover, he's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would make him a mean fighter. He'd be a dirty fighter in this sense.
Right. I mean, he kind of is a dirty fighter anyway. He's underhanded in some ways. But he always has a piece on him. So just like your typical handgun. I don't know any terms for that.
We'll just say they both have their standard issue 9mm.
Okay. Ray Donovan, he's got a this guy wouldn't be here, but he's got a I think the guy's Jewish. Maybe like
going back to this, huh?
What is that?
The Jewish army, the Hassad?
Yeah. I think he might have been part of that.
Okay.
As like a teenager. But anyway.
Hassad being the first major military force in the globe to incorporate women into combat.
Really?
So.
That's
just saying. Yay, Jewish women. Go ahead.
The more you know.
About that. But anyway, I've seen him have his piece removed by this guy.
Does he be disarmed?
What I'm saying is, Ray Donovan is a drunk, and he is really bad at hand-to-hand combat against somebody that's better than him.
What if it's all a subterfuge? What if he's actually like Jackie Chan and the Legend of Drunken Master?
Somehow he always pulls it out, though.
Because there's a kind of martial arts called drunken fighting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which you mimic the movements of a drunk,
mm-hmm.
which helps you dodge and throw faster punches.
I think what Ray Donovan is really going to bring to the table is he's got grit. He's got that, like... that Boston grit, it's hard to keep him down.
Well, he's also got that huge hole in his heart.
Yeah, right.
You should probably see a specialist.
If you try to shoot him in the heart, it's just going to go straight through. So, he's had, like, mentally, he's been through a lot of shit. So I think getting into a fight with Agent Coulson, this, like, suit, he's not gonna be intimidated by it.
Okay.
Because he's got a lot of other shit going on. He just wants to get this over with quick.
Very good. Ben. You don't watch these television shows, but me and Justin do. I'm going to put it to you. Who's the winner of this fight?
Oh, man.
And why?
Okay, well, Coulson sounds like, because he's got all the tech, and I'm guessing he knows how to use other items around him as weapons.
I'll say he's ingenuitous to an extent.
Yeah, I would say probably more than Ray Donovan.
Than Ray Donovan, though.
Put it this way. Ray Donovan once broke a man's arm or a man's wrist using the hole in a pool table. So he knows how to use...
He put his hand in there?
Okay, yeah. So he can. All right, well, I'll keep that level playing field.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Sorry to put you on the spot here, Ben.
No, that's fine. But you know
that me and Dustin are...
Because I know I don't watch them, but I know about them. I know how Coulson is, and I know about Ray Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner, I would still have to say, would be... You're trying to sway me? I don't appreciate that.
I'm praying.
I would have to say Coulson.
Yes! The truth shall set
now,
free!
I never said I wanted him to win.
Fuck you.
Let's put it this
way. But I think he would. He's got more professional, you know, fighting.
You're right.
Plus he's friends with Captain America, the greatest, you know, fighter in Marvel Universe.
He's level 8.
Logically, I would say Coulson.
Yeah.
By the sheer stats.
Yeah.
He's got a much broader background as far as like his experience fighting other people. But emotionally, I'm gonna fight to the death for Liev Schreiber. I'm gonna for Ray Donovan.
I think Donovan would not go down.
No,
until he down in the could fight, not.
And he wasn't killed.
Then Coulson's at least missing an ear, maybe an arm,
probably. Something.
And
easily,
Ray's come back with a vengeance. He's gonna have a plan when he comes back. I mean, right. he's gonna hold a grudge. And if you killed Ray Donovan, you would have some very angry family members to fight with.
No, you just hide the body. You're in a sex slave dungeon. Just fill it with cement. You didn't want anybody to find the place anyway.
Now, was this the one where his father was in jail or something?
Yeah, his father, Angelina Jolie's dad. I
don't John know Voight.
Name. John Voight.
Okay,
he's out of prison. And there was some things that happened in the past that...
Angelina Jolie is Ray Donovan's sister?
Yeah. Watch the movie. Watch the show.
I don't have show.
Well then.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Okay. but yeah, there were some things that happened in the past that Ray is very, very upset about concerning his dad.
Right.
And he wants to keep him away from his family, but his dad keeps coming around, and he's got some brothers, and it's a good show. Nice. My description, I should write articles for shows about how...
Like descriptions?
How dang good they are.
Yeah.
Do it!
No, I shouldn't.
Put them on the
Ray Donovan for Dummies.
Yeah.
I like that one. He's cool. His dad did some bad stuff, but it's a good show. Watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I like that description.
Oh, and he drinks a lot.
And Liev Schreiber should be Batman.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that one.
Really? He's too skinny. Yes.
I think he's way better of a Batman, or he would be way better of a Batman than, like, Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to see actual action for it.
I think right now...
Where are the drugs?
Who's a better Sabretooth? Like, when you think of Sabretooth in your head from comics and cartoons, who's a better Sabretooth? Tyler Mann from WCW or Liev Schreiber from, you know, Wolverine?
Interesting.
Think of it that way.
I like the Sabretooth from the cartoon, actually.
Which was Tyler Mane.
He, like, just did the
voice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Tyler Mane. Tyler Mane was the guy that played Sabretooth in the original X-Men movie.
Oh, and he in 2000?
No, I'm saying, like, the cartoon.
Yeah. But that's what he looked like.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like Creed from the comic.
I'm not saying that Ray Donovan... I'm not saying that Liev Schreiber made a good Sabretooth. I never said that.
I think he did.
I think that movie sucked. But...
Oh, no, yeah, don't...
Well, don't be wrong.
We're not saying that.
You had What's-His-Nuts plays Captain America, and he, like, wasn't the best Human Torch.
Actually, I will fight you on that. He was good at both of them. Chris Evans was amazing at everything. Mm-hmm. I have not seen Chris Evans in a performance that I didn't like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He was even good in Not Another Teen Movie, which is like a half a star comedy. He was hilarious in it. I celebrate the man's entire catalog. I'm sorry.
I should celebrate all of Liev Schreiber's catalog.
But I like Liev Schreiber in The Manchurian Candidate, the remake. That was pretty good.
I don't think I saw that.
You ought to check that one out. You want to borrow it? It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll borrow it.
Anyway, I think that's going to wrap this up with the verses.
Liev Schreiber in movie 43. He was in that, right?
Yes, he was. That was good. Come in here and look at this kid's pubes!
Yeah. Yeah. So.
You know who else was in that?
Hugh Jackman. Wolverine and Sabretooth were in the movie.
And Storm.
In Storm.
And who else was in that fucking movie?
For my little brain.
And Peggy Brandt from the Daily Bugle.
Oh, wow.
And that army guy that was in charge of the Transformers, Josh Duhamel. Who else was in it? And Christopher Mintz-Plasse and Hit Girl, both from the Kick-Ass series.
Nice.
You know who needed to be in that movie?
Who?
Idris Elba? Yeah, Idris Elba.
Is it
Idris, IDRS, right?
Yeah, but I don't know how you pronounce it.
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard him say his own name. That'd probably be the only definitive way to do it.
Yeah.
Too bad he doesn't talk in the third person.
If I heard him say his own name, I would probably explode. Because he has an awesome voice.
All right, so, gentlemen, let's get to our meat and potatoes this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ben here hosts a podcast about a certain nerd topic. We're nerds. We fancy ourselves nerds. So let's explore Ben's world.
Let's explore Ben.
You don't want to do that.
I want to explore you all night, Ben.
Very, very scary.
Last light, a clothespin on my nose. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, Ben, what's the name of your show?
The show is Late Night Gaming Cast.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a double meaning to it. We started out doing a podcast, so obviously it's got cast at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like a cast and crew type deal. So the people that join me, my friends Brandon and Zach, they're like the cast. We are the cast of Late Night Gaming. So.
Oh, okay. Now, your very first episode, was it like you guys got together, played some games, and started recording, or this was a podcast before, and then you introduced games a little later on?
No, it was, I mean, we've always played games and stuff, and I had the idea of like, hey, I kind of want to start a podcast. So we thought of a game that we wanted to talk about, and then we just started talking about it.
What was the first game that you guys talked about?
First game was Drunk Quest.
Drunk Quest. What?
Yes.
I did not know about this.
What game?
That's another thing, Late Night Gaming. We usually talk about some sort of drinking, beer. We swear a lot, you know, so.
Oh, good time.
Yeah, this is totally a drinking game. Have you guys ever played Munchkin?
Uh-huh. No. Yeah, I've played.
No. You have played?
Mm-hmm.
Think of Munchkin, but instead of, we'll think of Munchkin, but everything is drinking.
Just everything.
Yes, like literally everything.
I've not played Munchkin. Please give a better description.
Okay. so you have however many people around the table. You each have your hand, which is considered an inventory. Your cards do different things. You have your own class and an area that you're from, and both have special abilities. And essentially all you do is you go around the table fighting monsters. And in this game, in Munchkin, you usually fight monsters and you pick up treasure and you just try to win. Well, in this game, when you pick up a monster, to defeat it, you have to drink its health. So if it has 8 health, you have to take 8 drinks.
Awesome.
That's essentially it. But before you can defeat the monster, a round goes around the table. Mm-hmm. So everybody can put more drinks onto the monster. They could double their drinks. I think the most we've ever given out was 40. To one person. We usually consider like one drink, to get like real serious about drinking games, like one drink is like an ounce. Mm-hmm. So 40 drinks is like 4 beers. Can, you know.
Right.
It's like 40 ounces of beer.
I mean, it's actually 3 and 1/3 cans, but
wow. But yeah, it is. And so that's what Drunk Quest is, and we love playing it.
Can I interject one second here, Ben?
Go for it.
Did you graduate from college?
No.
Go ahead.
Not.
Oh, Matt.
No.
This is an amazing... I'm fucking jealous of this game, so...
No, yeah, it's fantastic.
Like daddy, I'm sorry.
See that
game? No.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Reminds me of... there's a game that that's out there called Dungeons and Drinking...
And yes, that's another one.
Yeah,
we plan on playing and talking about.
Oh, awesome. I would love to be a part of that. When you're dealing out damage, you're essentially just dealing out drinks.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Yeah, it's good times. And there's a lot of other caveats to it.
The last drinking game I played was the night before my wedding. I played Waterfall with my friends. Mm-hmm. I had bought 2 bottles of bourbon because all my groomsmen got flasks.
Okay.
So I filled them all up with the bourbon except for my... brother-in-law who was 16, so he got apple juice in his.
Oh, isn't that cute?
So it looked legit, and he got his, and he was like, oh, this is great! And screws it, takes a sip, like, you're a dick, Matt. But yeah, that was the last time I played a drinking game, so I'm like super jealous. I guess I play a lot of beer pong.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a drinking game, that's a drinking way of life.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we don't get together all the time just to drink. Like, we don't get stupid sloppy drunk just to get drunk. Please. We play games. We have fun doing it. You know.
Well, I have fun drinking. I don't play any fucking game. No.
What was that?
Fuck!
Sorry. What was the name of that game again?
Drunk Quest.
Okay, now, is this like a game you can buy at like a...
Yes.
Like a Spencer's or...
I believe... Oh, I know you can buy it online. Mm-hmm. And like during the podcast, we always at the very end, because we always have a game of the week.
Okay.
Right. And that was our first episode, was Drunk Quest. Okay. And we always tell them where to buy it and stuff. Drunk Quest specifically, there is a website. I just believe it's drunkquest.com. But you can go to like Amazon or eBay and find it.
Well, that's great. There's a train. Hi, train.
Choo-choo.
Drunk Quest. Awesome. What else do you guys do? Like, what other... When he said gaming, when Dustin told me that you have this podcast that's about gaming, I thought video games.
Right. See, that's what a lot of people think. Yeah, it's everything. Literally everything gaming. I'm more in the video game aspect. Like, I play video games like it's no one's business. And I plan to do, like, reviews and stuff later. But my other two co-hosts, Brandon and Zach, we're all huge into gaming. But, like, Zach is huge into, like, Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys have heard of that.
Oh, yeah, I've played in my day.
And, like, all kinds of board games. Brandon's the exact same. Brandon's into HeroClix.
Yeah.
If you guys ever heard of that one. Oh, so yeah. It's just any type of tabletop card game.
Landlord Brenton. lot of HeroClix in their house.
Really? Yeah. They're all he loves it. And a huge pack of my friends just love it. So,
sounds like a pretty wide array of...
It is. It is. And we try to focus it, but it like, I'm always talking about video games, and then, like, Zach be like, okay, let's talk about some board games. It's like, but I got more video games I can talk about.
Just the reason to have more episodes.
What's the hardest video game you've ever played?
The hardest?
Yeah.
Demon's Souls.
Have you ever beat it?
No. I don't have the patience for that game.
Is it, like, a widely known game for being just really, really difficult?
Oh, yeah. It's... I would say one of the most difficult. A lot of people won't say because or won't tell you it is because, you know, they get like the trick to it type deal.
Right. What console is it on?
Oh, it's on 360, PS3. It's on PC now.
Fairly game.
About 2 years ago, year and a half ago, maybe it came out.
Okay.
And it's coming out with a sequel now. I think it's going to come on next gen and stuff. It's like a fighting game, but it's one of those where you can't exactly take a hit. Like if you get hit, you essentially will die.
Okay.
So you have to be real careful with your movements. You know, stuff
call
like
that one hit wonder.
Yeah. The hardest part. The first game was the worst because if you died, you didn't.
God damn it, train! Stop it.
Because if you died, you would go back to the beginning. You wouldn't keep anything. You'd have to do everything all over again.
It's like no checkpoints or anything.
Exactly. That game was one of those where if you didn't lift your shield in time, you'd get stabbed, you died. There you go.
Like you're back. One hit every time.
Yes. Well, not every time, no, but most of the time.
Okay, right on.
Damn. What's your favorite video game, sir?
Oh, of all time, I would have to say Super Mario RPG.
I've never played that, and I'm such a Mario geek.
Fucking love that game.
Was that for the N64?
Super Nintendo.
No shit. Man, I would never find a copy of that. I still have my SNES.
I have a copy.
Well, I know my...
If I can get to you.
50 miles away.
Throw it.
Yeah.
But that really got me into role-playing games. So any role-playing now, I'm into massive multiplayer online as well, stuff like that.
Which online games?
All of them.
Just all of them? So, for that many accounts?
Actually, right now, I am playing Final Fantasy XIV, which is online, and then I'm also still playing World of Warcraft.
Okay, right on.
Fantasy III, or Final Fantasy VI, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, VI was amazing.
That was the greatest video game I've ever played.
Now, that wasn't my first Final Fantasy, actually. V was mine, so that will probably be closer to my heart than VI, but VI
was... Now, V was the American number 2, right?
I believe so, yeah. No. That was 4. 5 wasn't released until they came out with the anthology for PlayStation 1.
Final Fantasy has a really weird history.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Like, Final Fantasy 1 came out on the old Nintendo.
They're sitting over there thinking, oh, this won't work. We won't sell nothing, and then they don't come out with it. Come out with it 15 years later, it's the greatest game of all time.
Final Fantasy 3 and Final Fantasy 10 are like my favorite video games ever.
10 was fantastic. Yeah, the remake's coming out very soon.
Which everybody loved.
Or the HD. It's coming out very soon.
Ooh.
Yeah. I would have to say Pokemon. Pretty close up there, too, though.
Oh, man.
Huge Pokemon nerd, man.
I gotta turn the camera on so you can see. Do you see my tattoo?
Is that a Jigglypuff?
Yeah. I'm laughing.
That's amazing.
Actually, you get every time.
Except from mostly from girls and small children.
It's fantastic, man.
And actually, our second episode of the podcast was Pokemon. Was all Pokemon in celebration of X and Y.
Nice.
So we actually talked about the Pokemon drinking game too.
There's a drinking game.
Yes, I would look it up.
Pokemon tattoo. When you're
if you Google Pokemon drinking game, you'll see it. It's just if you Google Pokemon drinking game, okay. Look at images.
Yeah.
You'll see it. It's just a straight up board game. Roll the dice, move spaces. But
he's doing it right now.
You should and look at some of the spaces too. I mean, it's great. It takes you through the first game. So original 150, you have to do all 8 badges. Elite Four, you go through Safari Zone, Lavender Town, or the Pokemon Tower, Silph Co. You do all of it, and each space makes you at least drink 2 to 3.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow, we're looking at it right now.
Like, if you want to get completely hammered and do something Pokemon related, do that.
seeing them all, like, digitized just takes me back.
Yeah.
I know, right? That's great.
What color right here, man.
I gave people a lot of shit for playing the Pokemon card game.
I will ruin you.
A Dustin. Lot of the younger guys in college, I gave them such a hard time. I'm like, magic is where it's at! You guys are not nice people.
You were going to say gay.
I was going to say yeah. But I legitimately played the Game Boy games for sure, and I loved it.
I still do.
I liked the idea of collecting, like catching them all, right?
Right.
I had a friend in high school. We worked at Dairy Queen, and like on slow nights, like in the wintertime, the Dairy Queen that you actually got your dinner at tonight, Dustin.
Oh.
We would race to see who could write down all 151 Pokemon.
Nice.
This is back in the red, blue, yellow era.
I remember I was one of the first in my class to had memorized the Pokerap. That's awesome. And like I'd come in and be like, Ben, do that thing, and I'd do it, and he'd be like, yeah,
you did that thing.
He's like, you did it.
Pokemon nerdiness. Did you ever see Pokemon the movie?
Of course.
Did you notice Team Rocket's watching the they were doing the thing from the show, Who's That Pokemon?
Yeah.
And they got one of them wrong. Do you remember who it was?
No, I don't remember who it was.
It was Scyther. Because I know that. Because I fucking hate my life.
Oh, that's so sad.
It was Kabutops. Sir. They said it was Scyther.
Sir,
fucking
you beat me in Pokemon trivia.
No, I'm...
Congratulations.
Maybe someday we'll have a Pokemon throwdown between you.
I'd be down.
You know, I got the tattoo well before I ever played Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were on vacation or something?
I was on spring break, and it was the number one. My parents had got this condo and had me and 3 of my friends go. And so we went down. We had this great, amazing time. They kept buying booze and stuff. And it was a regular spring break. You just had to be my parents were our drinking buddies, which is fine. And so my mom had just gotten a tattoo that year. And so I said, you know, that means you can't stop me from getting one, right? Yeah. I said, well, 17, why don't you sign for one?
Mm-hmm.
And so that spring break, she said she would sign for it. And so we went, and the whole trip, I set the appointment for Thursday. So we were leaving Friday, and you're not supposed to get in the ocean with a fresh wound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just talking to her, like, I don't know what to get. Talking to my friends, I don't know what to get. And somebody brought up the fact that, like, to remember, like, your senior year of high school, and I didn't want to get, like, fucking Ben Davis class of 2000 on there. That's really gay. They talked me into the number one seller at Christmas that year was Pokemon. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I, that day we were eating at Burger King, and Pokemon was on my cup. Jigglypuff was on my drinking cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, that's what we'll do.
That's what you did.
And there you go. And so I still have somewhere...
No, hold on. Are you joking?
No.
That is the greatest story I have ever heard for somebody getting a tattoo.
I was so excited that I was going to come back from spring break with a tattoo. My friends wouldn't, you know? And, like, I was so young. I was always young for my grade. Oh, like, man. When I started college, I was 17 still. When I went to grad school and was teaching undergraduate classes, I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, half my students were older than me.
Nice.
So I've always been the young one. So, like, come back with a tattoo, I was like, ha ha ha. Because the cheerleaders would always wear their beads and shit they got for flashing their slutty tits.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, fuck you guys. I went a step further.
Got a Jigglypuff.
Yeah, so I had a Jigglypuff tattoo.
That is fantastic, though. I wish you could have saw me. My mouth was open the entire time. Just out of awe.
Well, somewhere on the wall of toys behind me is a gold-plated Jigglypuff card.
I have all of those.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You bought it that day because of the tattoo.
Didn't you? Nice.
So ever since then, like, people still kept buying me Pokemon stuff. Like, they'd be going through a store and they'd see a Jigglypuff, so they'd just buy it and give it to me. And that's how.
And you fell in love with Pokemon that way?
I didn't even have a Game Boy when I got the tattoo.
Oh, well.
Like, my 18th birthday, my parents got me a Game Boy Color in one of the Pokemon games. And I couldn't stop.
It's a very, very addicting game.
It is, yeah.
And the idea that you could play the game with other people with a link cable and stuff, that just blew me away.
You know, that was one of the greatest things that when I was younger about that game. Because, I mean, people now, I see people I went to school with that are, they have a yacht or something. But anytime I see them, and if I ever, I wouldn't, but if I ever did bring up, hey, you remember that time we played Pokemon, I guarantee they would all just be like, oh, dude, I loved that game.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking loved it. That wouldn't even think about it now are just looking at it like, God, I loved that thing.
My Game Boy Color died, and I ended up downloading emulators just to play it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I kept going for years.
That's an addiction.
I had multiple Game Boys. Because if one died, I'd be like, I'm not playing.
Oh, and then when after Game Boy Advance and the Advance SP came out, I had the SP, and I remember Pokemon Leaf Green and Fire Red came out, which was the classic Pokemon game, but on the newer console. Like, same thing. I was like, oh my god, it's Christmas!
Yeah. What was the first console? Was it Game Boy that they were on?
Yeah, they were on. Yeah. They were on old school Game Boy. Yeah.
Okay.
Original fat ones.
Now, were there any other Game Boy games on bigger consoles? Or no? Or not Game Boy games. Pokemon games on bigger consoles? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Four had the had Coliseum.
Okay.
And that was where you could just play the game regular. Well, or you could hook your Game Boy game into it, upload your Pokemon that you specifically trained, and fight with them.
Okay.
Now, so, Matt, I hate to interject.
Sorry.
But the first one was for 64 was Stadium. Actually, not Coliseum. Coliseum
was for what?
Came out, and it was, they tried to do, like, it was for 64. It was exactly what you were saying.
Okay.
It was Stadium. Coliseum, actually, was a terrible take on trying to do a Game Boy game on GameCube.
Oh, okay.
Failed miserably.
I'm talking about Stadium, then. Because I used to go to Nick Borsma's.
Yeah.
And he had, he had a Game Boy Pokemon set up, but he went through and did the rare candy trick.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the classic games you could get unlimited rare candies through a fluke, and he would level all his Pokemon up to 100 from there, but I had trained all mine to 100, and I beat his ass like a redheaded stepchild every time.
That's right.
Good deal.
A trained Pokemon is always more powerful than a rare candy.
They even wrote that into the show.
Nice.
So funny how they did that.
Yeah.
God. Good time.
Nice.
So what other games have you talked about in your show so far?
Well, episode one was Drunk Quest.
Okay.
And we talked about some other games before that. But then episode two was Pokemon. Obviously, we did literally everything Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Episode three, we did kind of like a late Halloween episode. It was just like spooky games. We did Zombie Dice as the game of the week for that one. It's just a real easy dice game. Dice throwing game that obviously it's themed like zombie. It's themed for zombies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then like during like we did the spooky one, the Halloween one. We talked about all kinds of horror games, horror games.
Horror games. I'm in.
That is the first joke on the episode too, because I said the exact same thing. I was like, what is your first horror game? And they looked at me like, really? I don't know.
The Hunger Games, but instead of all the teenagers killing each other, they just fuck.
I think both of them said GTA. Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, nice.
Which would be pretty... I mean, that was pretty whorish.
Very
good. And then we just recorded one, actually, today. That will come out this week, I'm sure. And that was on a tabletop RPG game called Descent. Which is kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, except just more streamlined, easier to get into.
Right on. Sounds familiar.
What was the name again?
Descent.
Oh, where they the chicks go cave diving?
God. I'm sad that I know what that movie is.
Oh, not based on that world?
That's a terrible movie. No,
it's not. That's not a terrible movie. That was a great
movie. That's a terrible movie.
That is a great fucking flick. Go look. Everybody, go rent Descent. The Descent right now. It's like Dusk Till Dawn, where you're going to the movie halfway through the movie, you're thinking, oh, this is a regular movie about this, and it turns out to be supernatural and crazy.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, it's such a great mindfuck when you watch it.
It was okay.
It was okay.
I'll level with you.
Ben, that's our time here.
Okay.
So if you like the discussion with Ben Tumadulski today, and did I say your name right?
Yeah, no, that's actually, that was perfect.
All you Northwestern Indiana Polk. Yeah, I married one just so I could get pierogies. We can find your show where, again? What's the address?
Well, you can like our Facebook. It's just Late Night Gaming Cast. Or you can search Late Night Gaming Cast at Podomatic.
Podomatic.
Yeah.
Very good. Dustin, you got something here?
Yeah, this isn't a. This is just. It's a joke.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm staging it up.
Thanks for explaining.
Thor is a fearsome god, but he'd probably be more fearsome with glasses, for he's painfully Mjolnir sighted. Am I right, guys?
Mjolnir sighted.
Yeah.
it's his hammer's name.
No, I got it.
And it has the word near in it.
Well,
kind of like near sight.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's it wasn't funny until you had to be like,
who wrote that? Because
his hammer.
You explained it, yeah.
Who wrote that? That's good.
Oh, that's classic.
Wish comedy I had thought right of there. That.
That is right.
Just think of that?
No.
Are you lying?
I read it.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said I wish I had thought of it.
Did you read it on Reddit? Cause
that's... See?
James Clever man.
James, right?
Oh. All right, from here at the brothel, guys, we'll see you Tuesday with Rancor's Agents of Brothel, and on we'll see you on Wednesday with Rancor's Agents of Brothel,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see you Thursday for Battlestar Brothel.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. Go to Follow Network's page on Facebook. Check out www.followthe.tv. We've got a ton of pods out there. The Zymologist. We got Music to Your Ears. Mad Chat, which I recorded today, was really funny because there was a tornado going on during it, which knocked down a huge limb in my front yard while I was recording.
Nice.
So the show. An instant film review. This week we're covering Reservoir Dogs, so check
movie.
That out on Thursday. Fucking Friday. Classic film. Sorry, we record on Thursday, Matt. Then the show comes out the next day.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm an asshole.
Hard yep.
Oh, fuck you. I was nice. This
you
episode.
Were. Thank you.
Next episode is Rip on Dustin Week.
See how smoothly it went?
You're right. Okay, hugs and kisses, right?
Yeah, hugs and kisses. Thanks, Ben.
Hey, no, thank you. Had fun.
All right. We'll see you next week at the brothel, guys. Bubba, la, la, bubba, la, bubba.